SFM, jou streek, jou frekwensie, jou musiek. Kus tot kruin, jou weeklikse blik op die omgewing word met trots geborg deur Sandpiper Cottages, Bochums Bay, want hier gee ons om vir jou en vir die omgewing.
Goeiemôre, good morning. Fred Orban hierso, julle weeklikse program Kus tot kruin. Ja, it's once again we're talking about the environment. Today we are speaking to somebody that has been here before. Welcome back to the show. We're diving to marine conservation, ocean education, and the role research plays in our protecting our blue planet. And we are going to speak to Stephanie Nicolai.
Yes, thank you, Fred. Wonderful to be back.
And then we are also going to have a bit of Afrikaans hier so tussen. Ons gaan met Elizna praat.
Hallo, Fred. Dis baie lekker om hier so te wees.
Dis lekker om julle te hê. Kom ons gaan aan. You are two incredible women. Elizna is a passionate marine guide, working to connect people with the ocean in a hands-on way. And then, of course, Stephanie, a marine conservation researcher studying microplastic pollution and mainly in the Mossel Bay area.
Thank you, Fred. We are super excited to be here and to chat about these really important conservation topics with you.
Thanks for having us. Talking about the ocean is my favorite thing, so I'm thrilled.
Well, let's start with some introductions, Steph. Tell us a bit about your background. How did you get into marine conservation?
Yeah, sure. My journey into marine conservation really started with a deep love for nature from my childhood. I've always been fascinated by marine life. And when I saw firsthand how much plastic waste is washing up on our beaches, I knew I had to dig deeper. So that led me to study microplastic pollution, tiny plastic particles that are ending up in our oceans, on our beaches, and working their way up the food chain. Right now, my research in Mossel Bay is focused on understanding the distribution and the abundance of microplastics in the bay. How are marine organisms being affected by them? And it's a massive challenge, but also a very exciting one, because the more we learn, the better we can protect our local ecosystems.
Well, that's fascinating. And Elizna, tell us about your role as a marine guide. How did you find your way into this field?
I was blessed with parents that exposed me to marine life and nature as a child. Those experiences fostered curiosity that eventually grew into this fascination for marine life. I'm now a marine field guide, and my dream is to work as a marine guide. Finally got wings, really, when our family moved down from Johannesburg to the lovely town of Mossel Bay. I coincidentally found my way into this field through an advertisement on a job application WhatsApp group where the Western Cape government embraced the Fugazo Marine Field Guiding course run by Uluwane Environmental Education School in Mossel Bay. Through the power of this educational experience, I really started to understand the bigger picture of the marine ecosystem. Therefore, it became like a driving force now for me to participate in environmental education and ecotourism, because I want people to share the love and passion I have for the ocean and its inhabitants too, and enable them with the knowledge to protect it and understand it better.
Fantastic. Just quickly, how did you meet up the two of you?
So we met through Andrea from iOcean Conservation Trust. Shout out to iOceans, a local organization doing great environmental education work.
Word deel van ons Facebookblad vandag nog. facebook.com/sfmstreek.
So guiding is much more than just showing people the dolphins and whales and barnacles and dunes and so on. What is your job actually involved, Elizna, and why is marine education so important?
So, Fred, marine guiding is a leaded experience and not to be confused with giving lessons. Marine guides make it their mission to create immersive tours in the marine and coastal environment, which ultimately leaves them with a deeper love and understanding of the ocean. It's important to have marine guides because we help the public understand the marine ecosystem better, and we analyze the marine animals' behavior on our tours for an engaging experience. Marine education eliminates misconceptions about the nature, like how dangerous sharks are or how marine fish supply is limitless. So ultimately, marine education is an essential part of protecting marine ecosystems because we educate people on things that they don't understand and encourage them to live with nature and not on top of it. Environmental education is key to conservation.
Fantastic. And Stephanie, from a researcher's perspective, why is ocean education so critical?
Ocean education is essential. A huge part of conservation is bridging the gap between science and everyday life, obviously. Research gives us hardcore data, but unless local communities and visitors and tourists truly understand what's happening and why it matters, nothing will change. Science alone won't save the ocean. People need to care enough to take action. So they translate science into real experiences, helping people form a personal connection with marine life. It's one thing to read about ocean pollution, but it's another to stand on Dyer's Beach and see plastic washed up after high tide, or watch a Cape Fur seal struggle with fishing line wrapped around its neck. That tangible experience makes the problem real. And when people see firsthand, they're more likely to change their behavior. So this is where guides like ELISNA play a crucial role. They make conservation relatable and real, and they give people first-hand experiences with marine life so they actually care enough to protect it.
Yeah, the problem with people often is they think they're not guilty. I mean, when they throw a cigarette butt on the street, it doesn't really matter. There's only one cigarette butt. But we'll have a bit of music, and then we are going to go and speak a little bit more to both Stephanie and ELISNA.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you.
Jy, ja jy, nou dat ons jou aandag het, vertel jou vriende van SFM en ondersteun plaaslik. SFM maak elke dag 'n goed vol dag. SFM.
Stephanie, let's talk about your research. What exactly is microplastic pollution? Something we can't see, or can we see some of it? And why should we be concerned?
Yes, Fred. So microplastic pollution and plastic pollution in general is a huge problem. And most people are oblivious to it and don't even realize that it's happening. So what are microplastics? These are small, tiny plastic particles, less than 5 millimeters in size, that come from all sorts of everyday sources. So some of it comes from bigger plastic items that break down over time. But a lot of it actually comes from things we don't even talk about, like the fibers in our synthetic clothing that get released every time we do our laundry, or face scrubs and toothpaste that contain tiny plastic beads. Now here's the scary part. They don't just disappear. These particles end up in the ocean, on our beaches, in river systems, and because they're so small, marine animals mistake them for food. So plankton eat them, small fish eat the plankton, bigger fish eat those fish, and eventually, guess what? We eat the fish. That means microplastics are making their way into our food chain and onto our plates. And it gets worse, unfortunately. Microplastics don't just float around harmlessly. They act like absorbent sponges for pollution. So they absorb toxins and chemicals from the water. So when a fish swallows them, it's not just ingesting the plastic, it's also ingesting a cocktail of pollutants that could have serious health effects. And we're still studying what that means for human health, but let's just say it's not exactly looking great.
It's not looking great at all.
Not at all. And in Mossel Bay specifically, I'm studying how these microplastics are affecting marine life from the coastline. So whether it's fish from the harbor to mussels and barnacles on our rocky shores, I'm analyzing samples to see where these plastics are accumulating and which species are most at risk, and ultimately how this could impact not just the marine ecosystems, but also our local fisheries and the seafood industry in time to come. Because if plastic is in the fish, that means it's in us, and that is something we really need to be talking about.
Well, what you say is terrifying, and we don't see it. So, you know, we see the big things in life, but we don't look at the little things.
Precisely.
It's the little things that make the big problems sometimes. Are people aware of this issue, or is there still a big knowledge gap?
So it's a really terrifying topic, but the good news is that South Africa is becoming more aware of environmental dangers. So ecotourism is on the rise, and more households are aware of pollution in general that is affecting our natural habitats. The challenge we face, though, is that people do not know how widespread plastic pollution is. So there is a knowledge gap of how every household is unintentionally contributing to plastic pollution that affects our oceans. The ocean is not as clean as it looks from where you are swimming at your favorite beach in December.
Not even through snorkels?
No, not even through a snorkel or surfing or anything like that. So yes, there is, but the great advantage, it is terrifying, but the great advantage of adding to the body of knowledge like Stephanie is doing is that it advances environmental education and solidifies ecotourism with messages about our communities' efforts to fight against plastic.
It's not done in vain.
No, obviously. Thank you.
SFM, maak elke dag een goed voel dag.
Well, girls, let's talk solutions. I mean, we've been talking about what the results are, but what are the solutions? If we can't even see these plastics most of the time, how do we fix the problem?
Precisely, Fred. That is a big challenge. It's invisible to most people. That's why education is so vital. Because here's the thing, not all plastic pollution is created equal.
Mm-hmm.
There's this big mindset gap between people who have the privilege of choice and those who don't. For a middle-class family in a city, for example, swapping out plastic for reusable alternatives is easy. Metal straws, glass containers, tote bags, all that good stuff. But what about someone in a small fishing community who relies on cheap plastic-packaged food? Because that's all that is available.
Even bananas are wrapped sometimes in plastic.
Indeed.
Unfortunately.
Elizna.
So, yes, everyone can choose better alternatives to plastic in some way. You can choose better alternatives like reusable bottles. Don't keep buying the plastic ones. If you can buy unpackaged veggies, don't go for the wrapped ones in plastic. The more we demand better choices, the more businesses will provide them. But at the same time, we need system-wide change. We are relying on our governments, municipalities, local communities, and on the listeners to use sustainable alternatives. We need better policies, better packaging solutions, and more innovation to make sustainable choices the default, not the expensive alternative. So the first step is making small, conscious choices. Choose the reusable products, the bottles, the bags, the containers. Support the sustainable seafood. Know where your fish comes from and spread awareness. Talk about the issue. Challenge businesses. And if you want to go further, citizen science is a great way to get involved.
Each of us can be a scientist if we want to be a scientist.
Definitely.
And let's talk about the older generation for a second. I know a lot of retirees and local nature lovers here in Mossel Bay who would love to help and maybe feel like conservation work is just for scientists or younger people or... It's not in their category. Are there ways for them to get involved?
Most definitely, Fred. You know, conservation is not just for scientists in lab coats. Everyone, no matter your age, can contribute in a meaningful way. And honestly, the older generation has obviously got so much local knowledge to share that's incredibly valuable for conservation efforts. So, in my opinion, one of the best ways to get involved is through citizen scientists. And that's basically a fancy way of saying helping scientists by recording what you see in nature.
Yep.
So, for example, there are really a few easy-to-use apps that anyone with a smartphone can download and start using today. iNaturalist, for example, that's a great one.
A fantastic platform.
Yes. For people who love spotting wildlife. So, for example, if you see a cool shell or a fish or a seabird while walking along Santos Beach or the St. Blaise Trail, you can snap a photo, upload it onto the app, and it goes into a global database that scientists use to track species distribution.
And please take a pin where you can.
Yes.
No good just showing a beach if
exactly.
People don't know.
Location.
On the
location, location, location.
And then to add to Stephanie, you also have Clean Swell. This one is perfect for beach lovers and walkers. Every day you pick up litter along Grootbrak Beach, Dias Beach, Donna Bay, or anywhere, you can log in the app and that data helps researchers track where the worst pollution is coming from. It's like turning your beach walk into a little mini research project. It's really fun. And then for the birders, or just anyone who enjoys a good cup of coffee while watching birds in the garden, this one is for you. You can log any birds you spot in the Mossel Bay area and that information helps conservationists track birds over time.
Well, that's the way to get involved, people. So sit reg op and luister, you know.
SFM.
Stephanie, let's just close off this program. It sounds like such an easy way to contribute. And for anyone who's not tech savvy, is there help available to get started?
Most definitely, Fred. These apps are super user-friendly. And honestly, if you're out and about and spot something interesting, like an unusual fish washing up at the harbor or a stranded penguin, Even just sending a photo to a local conservationist group like SMART or guides like a listener can be super helpful. So it's all about being observant listeners, curious, and willing to share what you see. That's what makes citizen science so powerful.
Yeah, and Aristotle said, education is bitter, but the fruits thereof is sweet.
Yes.
Hierdie program was vir jou gebring deur Sandpiper Cottages in Bochumsbaai, weggesteek in 'n ongerepte baai en Bavaria, off the beaten track, slegs 30 km vanaf Mosselbaai. Kontak Sandpiper Cottages via hulle webwerf sandpiper.co.za of per WhatsApp 081-071-6735.
Adverteer jou besigheid vandag nog op SFM. Vir meer inligting skakel SFM gerus by 044-801-7811.